Welcome, welcome, welcome back to They Made Their Way to the Ring. Last month we began the new season and episode 2 is here. It's new. I'm back. It's on. I said I was going to deliver a special episode for this one, something that includes a difference, a fun twist, and I always like to keep you entertained. This podcast began 15 months ago, and in that time, it's grown. I've hit now over 670 streams, had interactions on X from podcast hosts like Chris Van Vliet and the ECW diva Francine. I've had reposts on my podcast from women in wrestling, women I created episodes on, Maria Kanellis, Dana Brooke, Michelle McCool. Not to mention I received a follow and repost from the boat herself, Natalia. And if that wasn't enough, the same goes for the woman I will be celebrating today. Now, you might be sat thinking, why am I reeling off these things? Well, the answer is simple. Because I'm proud. I wanted to send the message that hard work pays off. I had this idea some 15, 16 months ago. I was working out in the gym, listening to the pros do it on their respective wrestling podcasts. And, you know, I thought, I love women's wrestling. I love to talk about it. Could I create some content of my own? So I went home, pondered for a little while, and suddenly I had this idea, something unique, something I wasn't seeing podcasts do in the way I was going to do it. So that's what I did. I turned my idea into a product, and slowly but surely, it's began picking up speed. So let me speak directly to you. Be proud. Be you. Do something you love today. If you have an idea, follow your passion and see where the path takes you. Now, quickly, just the boring bit. As usual, before we start, can I please ask whether you're new to this podcast, it could be the first episode you're listening to, or you could be a ride or die. Can you please hit pause right now? Go back on whichever platform you're listening on and check that that follow button is ticked. If it's not, then why the hell not? Kick that follow button and be sure to never miss another episode. There's plenty behind us and plenty more to come. Send a screenshot if you enjoy the episode. Tag me. Tag the talent I'm talking about. Hell, I'll tag them for you. Let's keep this buzz going. Please, leave a rating, leave me a review. It takes literally seconds of your time and could help to make this show even bigger. This episode is one I'd planned in my mind from way back in the beginning. As I said, I had the vision, the easy part. Talking about the women in wrestling and their careers, I could do that in my sleep. I had the idea. The next thing I needed was names. Hundreds of women have stepped between the ropes, laced up their boots. Divas, knockouts, superstars. But where did I begin? There've been hundreds of women in wrestling that I can shine a bright spotlight on and celebrate the careers of. But I had to narrow it down. I had one question for myself. This key question would help me decide who would be the perfect fit for my focus. And the question was, who changed the landscape of wrestling? So basically, who was different? Who had character? Who changed the game when it came to making their way to the ring? I thought of women like Trish Stratus, Victoria, Beth Phoenix, Mickie James, Melina, Lay Cool, Natalia, Maria, the names went on, and those women I talked about at length. Season 1 passed me by, as did Season 2. Then it began to hit me. These are women people would have expected me to talk about. These are women who had earned their spot, who had scratched and clawed for everything they got. They became household names, some even future Hall of Famers. But this name kept coming back to me over and over and over again. And yes, you might be wondering why it took me 23 episodes and 3 seasons to get here. Well, the answer was because I knew that door was firmly shut in wrestling, so I wanted to do this woman justice. Plus, I held out for the Royal Rumble because I had high hopes we might have a return. You'll see what I mean later. The woman I'm talking about today was a diva we saw debut on SmackDown in 2007 as a manager for her boys. A real fan favourite. She would be the first and only roller skating diva in WWE history. Keeping her iconic 50s look, she transitioned into the ultimate babyface in the divas division. She served only to grow even more popular as she climbed her way up the ladder to active competition, both teaming with and facing some of the most legendary names in the business. So, eventually, 23 episodes on, making her way to the ring from the other side of the tracks, Cherry! Cara Elizabeth Drew is better known by her ring name Cherry for her time as a valet and in-ring talent in WWE. I'm actually amazed by the amount of people who believe Cherry's time in wrestling began and ended with that 19-month period in WWE. Oh no, no, no. She had been wrestling for a number of years prior to this. Cara's wrestling debut, I believe, was back in 1999 on the Indies, but I wanted to begin in 2003, a little over 20 years ago, where she wrestled for a promotion called JCW, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Cara performed under the ring name Miss Cara Slice, or simply referred to as Cara, and her first opponent, on my birthday of all days, November the 23rd, 2003, when I was 12, was someone who was inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame in 2023. TNA's original knockout, Tracy Brooks. That is a name in wrestling everyone should know. I originally planned on talking you through this match, but the more I watched it back, the more I realised the magic wasn't in my explanation, it was in the action in the ring. So guys, hop over to YouTube, give JCW a few more streams, and check out this match. It was fun, it was unpredictable, and it involved a little bit of cheating. That's all I'm saying. Miss Cara would have a further two matches in JCW, and 2 years later, in 2005, she was headed for Ohio Valley Wrestling. Moving to OVW with the hopes of training and furthering her in-ring craft, Cherry would be born. Deuce and Domino were already on the scene with their old school gimmick, Grease Style, and Domino was said to be the one who came up with the idea of bringing a girl into the fold. A girl on roller skates. You know, the old four-wheeled roller skates from back in the day, the classics. Not like the roller skates us kids had, or rollerblades as they were called here in the UK, with four wheels all in a straight line down the middle of the boot. Honestly, Google them. I lost hours and a couple of teeth on those things as a kid. Cara was approached backstage at OVW by the tag team. They said they'd been toying with this idea of bringing a girl into the faction, a girl on roller skates. They weren't sure what her look would be, or even what her name would be, but they knew they wanted a girl on old school skates. Intrigued, she wanted to know more. After a TV taping, Domino had shown a promo they'd been working on. Cara said the timing was so close to when talent relations from WWE were coming down periodically to scope out some up-and-coming names. Remembering the night clearly, a Wednesday night, Cara said Johnny Ace and his team were coming down the following Tuesday, so in just 1 week the whole act was put together. But before this whole evaluation could take place, she needed a look. But what would this character look like? Could we have expected something like Sandy from Grease? Only this time, there would be two Dannys. Now, not only did this character need a look, but she also needed a name. Would it be Sandy from Grease, or would it be Cherry from Outsiders? Cherry, being more wrestling-esque, was the name they went with. This name, this gimmick, would see Cherry through OVW and right up to the big stage of WWE. So one thing I didn't know was, when talent relations came down from WWE to OVW the following Tuesday, they were only ever there to look at the contracted performers. And surprisingly, Cherry was not contracted. Now came the funny part. Deuce had told Cherry he would talk to them, talk to the important people who can make things happen. Cherry obviously disappointed by this. I mean, who wouldn't be? How would you feel? Imagine pairing together in 1 week, I might add, a name with a look, and combining that with a gimmick that clearly already works, but hugely changes the dynamics by adding a woman to the mix, taking this brilliant tag team to a phenomenal faction, to then be told, oh, actually, they'll only be looking at contracted guys. Yeah, imagine that. Deuce promised to talk to them and talk a good game he did. Cherry, at home in her apartment, got dressed anyway. I mean, it's never about getting ready, it's about staying ready, right? So Domino calls her and he's like, get down here now! So Cherry rushes in, like, not fashionably late, but super late. She walked in the door and the first person she sees was Rip Rogers. His reaction was said to be shocked, like, are you for real? This is your big moment and you're late. Give her a break, dude. We've all been there. Cherry then thinking, oh God, do I try to explain to this legend that it's not all my fault? I wasn't meant to be here. Or do I rush to get ready and not keep anyone else waiting? Well, she made the right call. She rushed to the women's locker room, literally dived into her gear and rolled out of the room. But where are the boys? Where are Deuce and Domino? Of course they didn't wait for her. They're already halfway across the arena. Cherry rolls out on these skates and everybody just stops dead in the tracks, their eyes following this woman skating across the arena. Now, was this because of her luck? Or because it had been a while since she'd skated and was quite unsteady? She just shouted to Deuce, "Stop me!" Imagine had he not. Would that outcome have been different? Nah, of course not. Cherry is what the wrestling world needed. She was different, something we hadn't seen before. The trio then went about their day, all eyes on them. They did their matches, cut some promos, then talent relations welcomed the group back. You know, they thank them, they give some feedback, coach who needed coaching. Then Johnny asked for Snooker, along with Deuce, Domino and Cherry, to go to the office. Was this bad news? Was it good news? It was great news. Johnny said he loved it. He enjoyed the diversity of the group and he didn't even know Cherry could wrestle. Bonus. Cherry, after only 4 months of non-contracted OVW work, along with her boys, got themselves a contract and got signed to WWE on January the 19th, 2006. Now, as I just mentioned, Cherry didn't have a lot of time to make an impact in OVW, as she spent only 4 months in the promotion. Taking it back to the moment they were signed by WWE, they were originally set to debut the following Monday on Raw. In Cherry's words, it was a blessing in disguise that this didn't come to fruition. The trio had only been together on screen for a week at this point. They hadn't had time to perfect the characters and their craft as a team. So the group would spend one more year in OVW whilst being signed to WWE doing just that, before they got the call they had all been waiting for. Just before we skip forward to the big debut on the Blue Brand, did you know Cherry actually wrestled in OVW and had many appearances throughout the year 2006-07? The class of women in developmental at that time was insane. Women who went on to be huge stars in WWE. Women who went on to be champions. Women who went on to TNA. Women who later became Hall of Famers. Names like Beth Phoenix, Katie Lee, Maryse, Rosa Mendez, Shelly Martinez, Kelly Kelly, Alicia Fox, Serena Deeb, ODB, and more. For Cherry's first couple of matches in OVW, she wrestled under the name Cherry Pie. This was before she mixed it up as more of a singles competitor to gain momentum towards a WWE debut, and she wrestled simply as Cherry. She had a total of 10 matches in OVW, and I wanted to mention one match, Cherry versus Katie Lee for the OVW Women's Championship. The match wasn't scheduled for the OVW program that night. The champ had the night off. A promo aired showing Deuce, Domino and Cherry complaining that Cherry had never been given a chance, that she could smack any of the women on the roster in the mouth. She could defeat any of them. In fact, the championship should have just been given to her, in their words. So, enough said. The match was booked. In typical heel style, once the decision was made, panic set in. Suddenly Cherry, well, Karen, we might say, wasn't so confident. Now, what I liked about this moment was that Cherry and the boys talked the talk. Then, when air and opportunity presented itself, she didn't want the spotlight. It was great. I loved the flipped babyface side Cherry showed as she made her way to the ring, the same side that was brought up to SmackDown. That was clever. Cherry's entrance to the ring was great. Multiple times she tried to turn and run, but the boys grabbed her and carried her to the ring. She didn't want this match. She wanted the gold, but she didn't want the fight. The crowd chanted for Katie Lee and the bell rang. Cherry looked fearful. She was looking for a way out. After a second attempt at escape, Katie Lee went in for a roll-up and scored only a two count. It was almost like watching a lumberjill match. The challenger tried to escape, but again, with outside interference, she was rolled right back through the ropes. Attempting a clothesline, Cherry's spirit was crushed and she was taken down to the mat for another two count. With a pep talk from the boys, Cherry looked to find an ounce of confidence. However, it was short-lived. The champion had an answer for everything the challenger brought to the table. Hitting the roller skater with an arm drag, it was back to the mat. Not quite able to get the full effect of a submission maneuver, she rolls Cherry up for another two count. The champ putting her focus back to the arm again, but what's this? Cherry, with a handful of hair, backs Katie Lee into the corner. The ref breaks the hold, then with a barrage of kicks to the champion, she brings it to the mat with a handful of hair. Now, the mistake she made was not staying on her opponent. She took her eye off the ball. Cherry was jumping for joy in the ring, overcome with excitement after she slammed Katie to the mat, and she allowed the champ time to regroup, and that she did. She hit Cherry with a big fist, and another one. Then she returns the favour and swings Cherry around by a handful of hair. Picking her off the mat, she hits a big Samoan drop. Now, ready to execute the neckbreaker for the win, Deuce wasn't having it. He climbs inside the ring and breaks the women up. The ref then calls for the bell, and the match is over by disqualification. But is it? Domino throws the ref out of the ring, and the men, with one arm each, hold the champion on her knees, giving Cherry free rein to do what she likes. With multiple slaps and a kick to the gut, Cherry pulls Katie Lee to the mat and climbs on top of her, unloading the head slams followed by a series of punches. The bell rings over and over, and although Cherry didn't win the gold, she was certainly the one standing tall after the match. Go check out this moment and more in the OVW archives. It's old school NXT, kids. Cherry, along with her on-screen brother Deuce, real-life brother Tamina Snuka, and Domino, her on-screen boyfriend, were coming. I mean, plans change all the time, right? It's wrestling after all. 1 year on from the date they were signed, on January the 19th, 2007, Cherry, from the other side of the tracks, debuted on SmackDown. The trio's debut was breathtaking. They came out to the ring in a retro car. They had a 50s-inspired theme, and Cherry sat on the back of the car, waving to the fans, chewing gum, wearing her roller skates. It was just so unique. It was like Grease meets wrestling. Two things you wouldn't put together, but it worked. Cherry had a great first year with WWE. She was always seen in the corner of her boys, and she even managed them to tag team championship gold when they beat London and Kendrick on the April 20th episode of SmackDown, just 3 months after their iconic debut. Speaking of managing, Cherry had said in an interview, her big inspiration when it came to standing ringside was Miss Elizabeth. Now, one thing I always remembered feeling back then was that this faction wasn't like any other. A faction is normally everybody on the same page, right? All babyface or all heel. What I took from the group was that the boys were heel and Cherry was the babyface that everyone loved, the good girl. Cherry said a lot of her mannerisms came from Miss Elizabeth. She was so elegant and sophisticated, but at the same time was very impactful. She always made a statement, and that was what Cherry wanted for her character. So another interesting fact about the debut on the main roster. Did you know that as the group entered the arena, this was the first time they had heard their theme music? In OVW, they were used to an upbeat, fast-paced entrance to the ring, and this slowed-down, 50s-themed theme was new to them. It threw them for a loop. They'd not come to the ring to such a slow beat before, but in the long run, it worked for them. It was fun, and it really finished off their look and what they were about. And one of my all-time favourite WWE theme songs was actually Cherry's solo entrance theme, Cherry Baby. But I'll get into that one a little bit later on. I wanted to skip forward to March 2008. This marked the beginning of Cherry's inclusion in the Divas division. On March the 7th, SmackDown held a Divas swimsuit contest. The competitors were Eve Torres, Cherry, who carried her roller skates instead of wearing them. This will be a subtle hint that Cherry's managerial days were coming to an end. Maryse, Victoria, and Michelle McCool. Actually, just quickly, one thing I wanted to mention was the diverse group of women we had here at the time in WWE. Victoria was the last remaining veteran on the roster. Then the rest of the talent was made up of women that came through the indies. Divas like Beth Phoenix, Jillian, Melina, Mickey James, Natalia, and of course Cherry. Then we had Diva Search contestants and winners like Maria, Michelle McCool, Maryse, Ashley, Layla, and Eve, to name a few. Today's roster mostly boasts of talent that have come up through NXT, Jade Cargill being one exception, and also the last active veteran today being Natalia. I mean, you could also include Tamina and Trish Stratus too, as they are technically still on the active roster. But it did differ from today's crop of women. There seem to be more ways to make it in WWE then than the traditional NXT route, which is now in place. Anyway, back to the swimsuit contest. This wasn't any contest. This was a competition which would span over the next 4 weeks to decide who would be SmackDown's top diva. Remember, the Divas Championship didn't exist yet. So, while the women on Raw fought for the gold, the ladies on SmackDown didn't have a lot to inspire them to keep fighting, but each and every one of them did. Each week, a diva would be eliminated until the top diva was crowned. Why would they do it, some might ask? Well, it wasn't only bragging rights on the line for the winner. Oh no. A custom-built motorcycle courtesy of Beverly Hills Choppers was gold in this competition. The coach announced the eliminations would occur after the fans the WWE Universe had voted. They would be voting to keep their favourite in the competition by texting the name of the diva they wanted to win. Kids, this happened in the days before the internet and the apps took over, and free voting was really a thing. The aim of this first competition was synonymous of the diva days. The women would dance in the ring, then reveal their swimsuit or bikini. Eve, up first, was full of confidence. She lapped it up. Cherry, up next, not so much. She kept the shy, innocent persona going, a girl most women could relate to. She looked out of a comfort zone, but with the crowd's support, the gown came off. The crowd went wild. They popped for Cherry. She then dropped the gown on the floor with a oops, cheeky look to the camera, slowly picked it up. Behind her was Maryse and Victoria, the heel divas of the group, laughing and making fun. Cherry already was fast becoming a fan favourite. Maryse up next with a signature hair flip, followed by Victoria with a goofy style and fall from the turnbuckle, and lastly came Michelle McCool. After all the women had performed, the fight broke out. Maryse went after Eve, with McCool making the save, then Victoria attacked Michelle McCool, and as all of this was unfolding, my main focus was Cherry. The camera cut to the diva, and it showed her grab a gown, grab the skates, and quickly exit the arena. And in my opinion, this was 100% the right thing to do with Cherry. She was a timid character with a big heart. Of course she had to get out of there. The following week, SmackDown opened with the Divas, specifically Maria. The diva headed to WrestleMania to team with Candice Michelle, later replaced with Ashley after Candice sustained an injury, to take on women's champion Beth Phoenix and Melina in the first ever Bunny Mania Tag Team Lumberjill match. Maria introduced the divas taking part in the weekly contest to name SmackDown's top diva. The results were in, and the first diva to be eliminated, Maryse, the first to go home. This also happened in her diva search contest too. For this, the second week, we had a diva's obstacle course. It boasted a balance beam, a set of tyres to run through, a bunny hop in a sack, and a wall of war before they crossed the finish line. One thing to remember was, even if they have the quickest finish time, it didn't mean they were safe from elimination next week. Eve, up first, completed the course in 23 seconds. Cherry, up next, with a surprising pre-event warm-up massage from Victoria, completed in 22 seconds. Victoria followed. Of course, she fell out of the ring, vaulted over the wall, and posed before crossing the finish line, and that gave her a time of 25 seconds. And Michelle, last but not least, gave an impressive showing and completed the course in 20 seconds, winning the event. The next week on SmackDown, Maryse confronted Cherry before the contest. She said how she just watched Deuce and Domino get their butts kicked by Batista. Cherry, not wanting a confrontation, said she had to go. Maryse then mocked her for going to a diva contest. She said she couldn't believe Cherry was still in it because she got voted out first. She said the whole thing, well, it must be fixed. Come on, look at you. And look at me. Cherry, just be honest. You're not a diva. You're a dog. Ouch. Well, you know what, Maryse? I agree. Guys, don't worry. I heard you gasps. I agree with the first bit. Cherry wasn't a diva. No. SmackDown, Raw, ECW, it had many divas. Cherry was unique, not like any other. The third week's challenge was an arm wrestling contest hosted by the assistant general manager of SmackDown, Teddy Long. Teddy brought out the divas, Eve, Cherry, Victoria, and Michelle McCool. They would compete in rounds until there was a definitive winner. I have to mention the commentary from Victoria here, just brilliant. She would go up against Eve first. Showing her frustration, she said, "Come on, are you serious? How long have you been here, Eve? What's her name? She asked the ref. This isn't a bathing suit contest, you know. Then, after they locked up, she screamed to the crowd. This is easy. What is this? As she looked at Eve's arm. Chicken wings, huh? Then, with a little bit of cheating, Victoria won the round. Up next, round two was Michelle and Cherry, and McCool picked up the win here. The final round was Michelle and Victoria, with McCool winning the contest. Up next came the votes from last week, and the second diva to be eliminated was Victoria. A fight broke out between the rivals, and Cherry broke up the fight, holding back McCool, allowing Eve to hold back Victoria. Cherry began to get physical. Interesting. March the 28th marked the final week of the Divas competition. In a backstage segment, Teddy Long was in his office along with the three hopeful remaining Divas, Michelle McCool, Eve, and Cherry. Teddy announced that the fans had been voting via text all week and the results were in. Finishing in third place and next to be eliminated was Eve Torres. She wished the finalists good luck, and in came Maurice and Victoria to make fun of Eve being eliminated. What looked like the making of what I assumed would be a tag match, Eve and Michelle with Cherry at ringside versus Victoria and Maurice, turned out to be something a little different, but very diva. Teddy announced the conflict would be resolved in a Wet n Wild water fight match. Cherry looked terrified. This turned out to be a fun match with Michelle and Cherry picking up the win, marking the roller skating diva's first win on the main roster. The next week, on April the 4th, Teddy Long, accompanied by the owners of the Beverly Hills Choppers, would welcome the divas to the ring, the two finalists, Cherry and Michelle McCool. And the winner was... Imagine a drum roll, guys. Come on. Michelle McCool. Victoria interrupted the celebration when she attacked Michelle. McCool, getting the upper hand, called for another of Victoria's tricks. A mystery blonde made the save, flattening SmackDown's top diva. The debuting daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart and niece of Bret the Hitman Hart, Natalya. Cherry attempted to make the save by pulling Michelle from her clutches, but all that got her was a huge slap. 2 weeks on from this event came one of my favourite matches in WWE Divas history. SmackDown came to my home country, the UK. It would be Victoria with Natalya versus Cherry with Michelle McCool in her debut match. There's a number of reasons this match was one of my favourites. Victoria's commentary, again, the fact that Cherry had a debut singles match and debuted a new theme, plus the outcome of the match. First of all, SmackDown in the UK, it just doesn't happen often enough for my liking. We have some fantastic arenas here and the crowd always deliver. Cherry came out first to a new theme, Cherry Baby. It was such an iconic theme. It had such innocence to it and just fit Cherry like a glove. It was a light-hearted theme, a song that sticks in your head for days after hearing it. I did want to mention Cherry's theme was actually aired on a Black Mirror episode, but DS from Ring the Bell already shared this. I actually sent out a tweet to Cherry when I discovered this. Did she reply? Well, that's between us. Cherry made her way to the ring, skates in hand, with such fear in her eyes. Her behaviour and mannerisms were perfect for what her character was. I even wanted to delve into the gear. We had seen Cherry previously in a pink or black skirt with the shoes and frilly socks, but the gear she opted for was a simple leggings look with a pale yellow top, a belt and a short sleeve cardigan. By the way, I'm not and don't claim to be a fashionista. Please don't come for me for the description of clothes I give. I ain't no Michael Kors. I just meant Cherry didn't look like the traditional diva, and I think that was the aim, and it worked. Cherry was like the girl next door living a dream. She broke the mold. She proved, you know, you don't have to look like a lot of the divas that had come before her to make it. She didn't look like Tori Wilson or Kelly Kelly. Their similarities ended at blonde. She could wrestle, she could entertain, and her character was believable. It was about the new girl breaking out. She was a fan favourite. Job done. And the crowd popped when that music hit. Victoria out next with Natalya, now 10 out of 10 for comedy again here. She walked down the ramp mocking Cherry's frightened look. It was almost like a theatre performance. As the viewer, we wanted to boo Victoria and we had Cherry's back. We rooted for the underdog. Cherry was hiding behind Michelle during this entrance. She looked scared to death. I mean, who could blame her? Going up against a former two-time women's champion in a debut match. The bell rang and Victoria's mocking continued. Cherry, looking to Michelle for reassurance, didn't know what to do. Victoria said, "I'll give you the first shot, Cherry." Bravely, she stepped forward, but Victoria shoved it hard to the canvas. The ref, Charles Robinson, backed the former champion out of the corner, allowing Cherry to get back to her feet, but the assault continued. She grabbed her opponent in a headlock, claiming, "This is a piece of cake," and took her to the mat with a hip toss. Cherry was crying out. "Where's your boyfriend, huh?" Victoria laughed. "Where's Domino and Deuce?" The commentators then added that Cherry had been somewhat distant from the boys as of late as they'd been hanging out with Maurice. Back to the action, Victoria holds Cherry in a side headlock. She delivered a big shoulder tackle. Victoria, with a gut kick followed by a big boot to the ribs, keeps Cherry on the mat. She had no choice but to get to the edge of the ring where the ropes would be her best aid and break any further holds. Ring smarts there from Cherry. Victoria slaps her face hard and says, "Oof, that kinda hurt." Natalia on the outside shouting, "She had that coming." Cherry, visibly shaking, is crying inside the ring. The former champ sees this and asks, "Are you crying? She's crying. Are you crying?" Then picks Cherry up by the hair and says, "There's no crying in wrestling." A line she got right second time around. It was almost, almost, "There's no wrestling in crying." Yeah, I picked up on that. Cherry here, similar to a match in OVW, showed a moment's promise. She pushed Victoria away, then delivered a gut kick of her own. Then, going for the second kick, Victoria grabbed a leg and hit a massive clothesline. Cherry just couldn't get any offense in at this point. It was here that we almost wished for Victoria to just stop the games and put Cherry away, put her out of her misery and just go for the pin to end this suffering. But no, she stood over her opponent, played to the crowd and picked her up by the throat to deal some more damage. An Irish whip sent Cherry crashing into the turnbuckle, but what was this? She leaps over a running Victoria and sets her up for a roll-up, a two count on the former champion. I really thought she had that one there. It was close. Before Cherry could get back to her feet, Victoria's experience came into play. She gifted Cherry a devastating kick to the side of the head, knocking her back to the floor. She rolled around in agony. Natalia laughed from the outside and McCool just wanted this to end. Pulling at Cherry's hair, Victoria sat on her back and locked in the camel clutch. She placed more and more pressure on the chin and ultimately the spine. Not wanting to tap out, Cherry made it to her knees, but with a handful of hair had her face slammed into the mat. Another rib kick followed by another slam to the mat. But what was this? Cherry once again showed some fight. She kicked Victoria in the head, but again it was short-lived. She was sent back to the turnbuckle for a number of shoulder attacks to the midsection. The crowd were echoing boos around the arena as she claimed again it was a piece of cake. Cherry, attempting to get back to her feet, was slapped in the face, then across the head, and once more to the face for good measure. Cherry was given a big body slam and Victoria looked back to Natalia, who claimed, "You mess with the best, you go down with the rest." Cherry at this point crawled to her partner, Michelle McCool. The former champion pulled Cherry away and said, "You stay out of this, Michelle, huh? You want a piece?" Michelle climbed the ropes and in true babyface fashion, Cherry took advantage of the distraction and rolled up Victoria for the three count. Her debut match won. As a fan, we don't always like to see these kinds of finishes, but this one made perfect sense. Cherry wasn't established in WWE as a wrestler. She'd come a long way, but it would have made no sense for Cherry to hit a big finisher at this point. WWE got it just right. It left us wanting more of Cherry. But honestly, hats off to Victoria. She is so giving and she really helped elevate Cherry that bit more. Now, was this beginner's luck or did Cherry really have what it takes to survive inside the WWE ring? Well, it turned out it was beginner's luck as far as storyline goes because the next week she faced Natalia in her debut match. But the outcome wouldn't be the same. Cherry would be Natalia's first opponent in WWE and the first to tap out to the famous family sharpshooter. I personally think that that's quite the honour. Cherry's facials in these matches are so iconic too. When she manages to get a bit of offense in or the roll up, that look of surprise and disbelief could never be copied by anyone. 2 days after this match, both Cherry and Natalia had a taste of the very first pay-per-view match as it was then. Cherry's pay-per-view debut only a week after a singles match debut, and Natalia only 2 days after her singles debut. Impressive stats. Backlash hosted its first ever 12 Diva tri-branded tag team match. Making their way to the ring, Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon, Melina, Jillian, Victoria, Natalia, and Layla. And their opponents, the team of the WWE Women's Champion Mickey James, Maria, Ashley, Michelle McCool, Cherry, and Kelly. I've talked about this match before, and I always tell you how the old multi-diva matches are my favourite, so I'm just going to run through Cherry's spot in this match. Now, with any match in any company, the aim is normally to get someone over. In a multi-women match, there could be one or two women needing that push. Women like Mickey, the new women's champion. Beth, as she began her chase back to the gold. Michelle, whose actions set up this match, so to speak. Or even Natalia, the newest debuting star. I knew Cherry wouldn't be a big factor in this match, but I was pleasantly surprised she got the spot that she did. I'll let you know what I'm talking about. Melina tagged in Natalia during the match. It was her moment to shine against the top star of the division, the women's champion, Mickey James. But it would seem this big opportunity wouldn't derail Natalia from her ongoing feud with Cherry. After a series of shots from the champion to the dungeon graduate, Natalia took Mickey to the mat. But instead of capitalizing, Natalia hit Cherry with a cheap shot, knocking her off the apron to the floor. Now, turnabout is fair play, right? Just minutes later, after Natalia tagged out of the match, Cherry ran to the opposite side of the ring and pulled Natalia from the apron. But what came next? Cherry didn't expect. Beth Phoenix, Natalia, and Layla unloaded on Cherry until Ashley and Maria made the save. Natalia shouted, "You're pathetic!" as Cherry, head down, went back to her corner. She caused all-out diva pandemonium. Now, I wanted to say Cherry in WWE really stayed true to the character, and I liked that. The gimmick she had never seemed tiresome. If anything, she became more and more over in the ring. Cherry portrayed what I think we've all felt at some point or another in our lives. Scared or feeling lost in a sink or swim situation, she is criminally underrated, in my opinion. The last spot Cherry got was the Divas finisher sequence. This came around when once again the heel Divas illegally attacked the opposing team. Beth attacked Mickey, but the champ was having none of it. She slid right back in the ring and took Beth out with her finisher, followed by Victoria, then Michelle, then Melina, which set off a chain. Cherry hit Jillian Hall with a faceplant to the mat before being taken out by Natalia. The match, a solid 10. From here, the next night, Cherry would be featured on Raw and the winning team of this 12 Diva Backlash rematch. This would mark Cherry's first and only match on Raw. Speaking of one and only matches, the following month, on May the 13th, 2008, Cherry headed over to WWE's then third brand, ECW. She would be involved in a 6 Diva tag match. Kelly teaming with Michelle McCool and Cherry from SmackDown against Layla from ECW and SmackDown's resident Mean Girls, Victoria and Natalia. Cherry picked up the win in this match when she pinned Victoria with a schoolgirl roll-up and the crowd loved it. Again, for only $9.99 a month, head back on the WWE Network and just watch Cherry's matches. You'll see what I mean about the strength of acting she possessed. The facial expressions told a story. Remember, diamonds are created under pressure. You'll see what I mean. In the coming months on SmackDown, Cherry entered a mini feud with Maryse and she was involved in 2 Golden Star on a Pole matches. But on July the 18th of 2008, Cherry found herself on the losing end of a match she couldn't have prepared for. A match against a newlywed, a woman with the most irritating voice in all of WWE. We love her really. The SmackDown General Manager, Vicky Guerrero. This came around when Vicky brought out the Divas for a bouquet toss. Remember the days of the Divas entrance, the pink trons, that feeling me theme? Anyway, before the moment could take place, Michelle took out Natalia and was removed from ringside. Drama aside, the bouquet was thrown and Cherry was the one to catch it. She was so excited. I mean, catching the bouquet would normally result in good things to come, like, oh, I don't know, a wedding? But not for poor Cherry. What this earned her was a match. Well, 2 matches. Vicky said how happy she was that Cherry caught the bouquet, but she was a little worried about her. She said, "It may sound a little mean, but I thought you were never going to get married. But since you did catch the bouquet, this has entitled you to a special match tonight against me." Cherry looked horrified. I remember thinking, oh no, is Cherry going to pick up the win and get fired here? But excuse me, Cherry, before you have the match with me, you have to face Natalya. The bell rang and in seconds, Natalya had Cherry tapping out. Then Vicky cancelled Natalya's music saying, hold on, it's my turn. Then she climbed on top of Cherry and got the three count. Cherry's last match came in the form of another Six Diva tag team match. Man, it was the era of Six Diva tag matches, the year of 2008, wasn't it? Following this, WWE broke the news that Cherry, along with many others, had been released from a contract in August 2008. This was a huge shock to me. I felt Cherry, if anything, was only getting started. Still, to this day, I wondered if there were greater things in store for Cherry, had they not let her go. I often wonder how Cherry would fare against the talent of WWE today. The opportunities are there. It wouldn't even have to be WWE. With a more diverse or a less stereotypical roster of wrestling, I'll say, that we have in today's world, you know, we see all kinds of women's wrestlers. The bigger woman like Nia Jax. We have, you know, people like Abaddon from AEW, while still having the typical diva look from women like Ash by Elegance in TNA. Where would Cherry fit? I know one thing, there is a place for her. She would sell. People would welcome this character back with open arms. I know it. And I would raise the roof if Cherry made a return. Book it, Triple H. Book it. Hashtag WWE rehire Cherry. Do it. So, some 15, 16 years on, I know it's crazy it's that long ago, to segue into this special treat I had planned, I received a follow back from Cherry herself on X. Before I forget, she's at Former Diva Cherry. That's FMR Diva Cherry. Please give her a follow and show her some love. So after DM after DM, she probably got sick of me asking for something from her to include here, and she kindly tapped out and gave me a little Q&A, which I'll share with you here now. So without wasting any more time, here's how it went down. I asked Cherry a series of questions about her time in WWE, so I'll read out each question and her response. I asked, what was it like having your debut match against legend and former women's champion Victoria, and do you think that match catapulted Cherry to becoming a fan favourite? Cherry said, it was an amazing feeling to not only have a match with a legend and someone I admired for so long, but also someone I was able to call my friend. Victoria is one of a kind. If that match helped me to become a fan favourite, then that did its job. I couldn't be more pleased with the match. And I can't add any more to that. Question 2. Did you realise how over you were with WWE crowds at the time? Cherry said, I enjoyed hearing the cheers and only hoped that the fans would get behind the Cherry character. The only time I realised that Cherry was making an impact was during the Diva competition voting. Question 3. If you could have faced one woman from the past in a dream match, who would it be? Cherry simply answered, Sherri Martel. I personally would have liked to have seen Cherry go one-on-one with heels like Lita or Melina, or have a proper tag run with Ashley. That could have been fun. Cherry Punk, maybe. Who knows? Question 4. Natalya is a surefire Hall of Famer. What does it mean to you knowing you got to be her first opponent in WWE, giving her debut match? Cherry said it meant the world to her. And to Natalya. We were already friends, but it solidified our friendship that we could have such a history-making moment in our friendship. For me, I think Cherry and Natalya had chemistry. Future women's tag champs, that's what I think. But obviously it holds a special place for Cherry. You know, she said it. I've said it. Yeah. Question 5. The 12 Diva tag team match of Backlash 2008 was one of my favourite matches. How did it feel having your moment in the match causing all-out pandemonium at ringside? And Cherry said, having a chance to work with all the girls on the roster was super fun. Question 6. Was there any plans for Cherry to ever become a champion? Cherry replied, I'm not sure, but I know they did have future plans for me. So guys, if I get a second chance maybe to speak with Cherry again, maybe even recorded, maybe I'll dig a little deeper into that answer. Question 7. Have you ever been invited back to WWE for a Royal Rumble appearance? Cherry said no, but I would completely accept the offer if I did. So, guys, that is what I meant earlier. I had everything crossed that we would have seen Cherry in the Rumble last month. I even hashtagged it. Still, there's always next year, right? Question 8. If Cherry could come back for one more run, who are three opponents from NXT or main roster you'd like to be pitted against? Cherry said Tiffany Stratton, Becky Lynch, and Chelsea Green. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, I could imagine Tiffany or Chelsea with their bullying tactics and Cherry getting the upset win. Would you like to see another run from Cherry? Question 9. Do you have a funny story or memorable moment from your time in WWE? Cherry said, one of the first times we were brought to TV, I was backstage on my roller skates and almost fell right in front of Vince McMahon's office. I was looking for the boys and went down the wrong hallway. Unfortunately, I saw the sign that it was Vince's office and tried to brace myself to turn around and almost fell down. Arn Anderson happened to catch me struggling and laughed and asked me if I was okay. It was so embarrassing. Well, Cherry, it happens to the best of us. Question 10. Your theme song, Cherry Baby, is in my top 5 all-time favourite Divas entrance themes. Did you get to choose your music and did you like it? Cherry said, I didn't get a chance to choose my music. However, Jim Johnston did call me and ask me about my physical characteristics to apply in the song. Now, I asked a poll on X about this song. I asked my followers, do they think it's one of the greatest Diva songs of all time? And 55% said yes. Well, my take, the hot take, it's in my top 5 for sure. I loved it. I still listen to it now, all these years on. It's on my gym playlist. Question 11. Being the first roller skating diva, what is one other first you'd have liked Cherry to have been a part of? Cherry, in only 5 words, said, a championship win, of course. Now, I could have seen a championship run for Cherry, absolutely. I could have seen a fluke victory with a roll-up, then grow a character along with a skill set from there. So, how about this for storytelling? Natalya becomes the first Divas champion. Cherry beats Natalya with a roll-up, and new WWE Divas Champion, Cherry. This happens while still under the tutelage of Michelle McCool. She learns the craft, becomes more successful. The fans raise Cherry to become the face of the company, but this leads to jealousy and the eventual heel turn McCool had. A match is set and she beats Cherry for the title. Imagine that. But before I get carried away, the last question. Being the ultimate babyface, one of the best of all time, who is one ultimate heel you would have liked a WrestleMania moment or match with and why? Cherry said, I would honestly have to say Natalya. Not just because of our friendship or how our first match went, but she brings out the best in me, in the ring and in life. She's an outstanding and incredible performer and there's so much more she can do and has done. She also added, I think another match between Cherry and Natalya would be a good story. And honestly, I couldn't say it any better. So, yeah. Cherry, Natalya, WrestleMania, whether it's singles, whether it's tag, I'd be there for it. I always end these episodes asking the same question. Does Cherry deserve a spot in the Hall of Fame? My answer, truthfully, yeah. We see superstars inducted each year and the focus is their accolades. What if Cherry could be inducted for hers? There's a multitude of reasons. I believe Cherry's character was one of a kind. I keep saying it, but she was so relatable. I wonder how many girls out there, and boys too, looked at Cherry and thought, I don't fit the typical mold either. Maybe I could do it. How many people did she inspire to follow their dreams? She's connected with her fans across the world. I mean, in each country, they cheered for Cherry. For those reasons and a body of work in the short time she had, I would love to see Cherry inducted. It's all about making an impact, changing the landscape, and I truly believe that's what Cherry did. I just wish she'd had longer to do it. So imagine next year, Natalya inducted into the Hall of Fame by Beth Phoenix, and later in the evening, Cherry is inducted by Natalya. What a night that would be. I do really believe Cherry deserves the honour. Wrestling is more than movesets and titles. It's about storytelling, connecting with fans, being an icon to relate to or look up to. And she ticked those boxes. The material stuff is a bonus. I also asked you, did you like the way Cherry was booked in WWE? And 71% said yes. I have to say, For me, Cherry always stayed true to her character. She believed in it, and that came first and foremost. It really shone through. I feel Cherry, whilst in the ring, grew organically. Those little sparks of fight she would show was TV magic. It was believable. It was the Cherry Lucian. Well, guys, that's a wrap. Episode 2, done and dusted. Again, if you enjoyed the episode, please drop a rating and a review. Send me a screenshot of this episode you're listening to. Tag me on X at @Slee_Ryan and Cherry at @FormerDivaCherry. I want to thank you all for coming back and listening, but I also want to thank Cherry, this time publicly, for this huge opportunity of a lifetime to host a Q&A with a former WWE diva. I never once thought back in 2008 when I supported Cherry through the TV screen that one day I'd get to ask her questions about her career. It's insane. So Cherry, thank you. I'll be back next time for another iconic episode celebrating another talent in the world of women's wrestling on They Made Their Way to the Ring. Ding, ding, ding.